of health resources in action. As a senior trainer, she provides technical assistance and various trainings on topics such as positive youth development approach, community organizing, public speaking, conflict resolution, violence prevention, supervising youth, program and project planning, team building, and so forth throughout Massachusetts, New England, and other parts of the U.S. Today, she's going to speak about the Massachusetts Peer Leadership Network. Please welcome her.
Hello. Ooh, a little short. Hi. I'm excited to be here. This is my first presentation at APHA. And just so you know, there are copies of the presentation on your table if you want to follow along. And maybe you notice glossy, really pretty handouts, too, about our work. One titled The BEST Initiative. BEST stands for Building Exemplary Systems of Training, which is some of the trainings we offer to adults. And we also have a handout on trainings and services we offer to youth programs in various capacities. So I'm excited to talk about the Massachusetts Peer Leadership Network, which is connected to the presentations we heard today. It's a different spin on collaborations, because as we know, peers could be at any level, but this project really focuses on high school age young people. So a collaborative model of engaging multiple peer leadership programs around the state. So I have no relationships to disclose. So resiliency research, a factor often overlooked that has definitely emerged from protective factor research is the role of caring peers and friends in the school and community environment. Two meta-analyses concluded that peer programs are the single most effective school-based approach for reducing alcohol and drug use in youth. So like Bonnie Bernard, very famous for doing a lot of resiliency research. And then the youth development research. The research is clear. When young people have access to an array of supports and opportunities, they not only avoid in engaging in self-destructive lifestyles, but more affirmatively, they achieve a healthy sense of identity and full range of competencies necessary to succeed as adults. And I would even add as young people. So that's Shepherd Zeldin, does a lot of work on youth development. And finally, the network research, because this is really a networking program. In the shifting context for the civil sector, networks represent a fundamentally different response for achieving efficiency and effectiveness. Network strategies offer a powerful set of tools to manage the key tasks and challenges faced by nonprofits. So this is one of the studies that came from the Bar, mainly funded by the Bar Foundation, which is out of Boston. So just to say, our organization is a public health nonprofit. We are in Boston, but we do work throughout the country and internationally occasionally. So we find networking really important because siloing doesn't really help, especially in this economy when, you know, we're trying to get a lot of things done. So I want to speak about the evolution of the Peer Leadership Network. So, first off, when, like I said, these are high school age young people, but what we mean by peer leader, it's someone who's committed to building leadership skills and works to make the community a better place by doing advocacy work, building networks, leading workshops, mobilizing their peers, and striving towards positive change. In Boston area, in Massachusetts as a whole, is very lucky to have a lot of peer leadership programs that are doing incredible work all around the state. But in June 2010, we embarked on the first Peer Leadership Institute conference, which was held in Boston. It was a one-day conference where various youth-led workshops, some were led by adults and young people, but mainly they were led by young people. Networking opportunities and fun activities were there. And it was such a huge success here. There are some quotes. These are from young people. It gave you a chance to be around other teens facing the same issues that you do. I didn't know there are other organizations out there like mine. And then finally, I like that I learned new and important things and I met new people that can help me get involved in other things. When will you do this conference again? I remember this young person specifically because he courted me like 3 times in that conference trying to figure out when we would do this again, and I didn't know what to tell him. So that was a very excited young person. But to give you an idea of some of the workshops that were offered in the conference, Exploring healthy and unhealthy relationships, youth transportation justice issues, 100 actions to prevent domestic and sexual violence, the truth about preventing underage drinking, and et cetera, et cetera. There are many topics led by young people in this conference. The conference was a success. We decided to offer it again the second year. And again, not surprisingly, the youth were so excited, really inspired. They learned a lot that they wanted ongoing opportunities to connect with each other. So in September 2011, we decided to embark on what is now called the Massachusetts Peer Leadership Network, which, as far as we know, there's nothing that exists like that in Massachusetts for young people particularly. There are some that are very topical focused, substance abuse, etc., but this one's a general network of public health peer leadership programs. So what is it? What is the Peer Leadership Network? So here's some goals. The goal of the network is to maximize the potential of youth to develop skills and create a positive change in the communities, to build alliances and networks among peer leaders throughout the state so they can support one another and share best practices, expose youth to peer leadership programs to increase opportunities for growth and leadership, and grow their social capital. And finally, facilitate networking opportunities by developing an online peer leadership directory. As you all might know, and I'm not sure how many of you work with young people or are exposed to them, they love socializing, but that is the basic level. Networking is the next step on connecting on issues and what do we do from here. So it was a great project to embark upon. So what does it look like? So we had a youth leadership board, which was composed of 10 high school age youth from across the state. And we have one adult advisor who supervised and supported them, providing training and guidance. This was provided by our Massachusetts Promise Fellow. And then the Youth Leadership Board, they help manage the network with the support of the adult advisor. Some basic things, they met about 2 to 3 hours per week. That's when they got a chance to be trained on topics that they needed to facilitate the network, and I also had time for planning. And we provided many trainings such as public speaking, facilitation skills, what is public health, event planning, running effective meetings, etc. This slide is speaking about the preparation it takes to facilitate the regional events, but I'm going to talk a little later on what the regional events actually look like. But this is what needed to happen in order to prepare. So both the Youth Leadership Board and adult created a timeline of the whole year when they wanted the events to happen, identified regional host sites. We split Massachusetts in 5 sections, Boston area, the Northeast, the Southeast, Central Massachusetts, and Western Massachusetts. They chose a theme. So we thought, hey, we're going to make these events free, and we're going to offer food. So cool, 2 things that will hopefully get people to go there. But what is the hook? What's going to be the trade-off? What's going to get them to go and take time out of their very busy day? Because there's some youth groups that are doing really high-level organizing work or just, you know, are just busy. So the last year, the theme the young people chose was conflict resolution. And they felt, first it was healthy relationship and relationship violence, and then it transformed into conflict resolution. They felt, hey, how about we provide a short conflict resolution training to provide the participants who come to the event with skills, right, and quid pro quo, right, in exchange, and then they come and get to meet each other and say who they are and kind of connect the network from there. We found that conflict resolution was super helpful to all the groups who attended, no matter what topic they focused on. It affected their personal lives, professional lives, etc. So the Youth Leadership Board, they developed the agendas, marketing materials, they recruited the groups to come, and they implemented a feedback plan. Since this was our first, last year was our first year implementing this project, we wanted to make sure that we were listening to people in terms of feedback and how to change it for the better. The directory, we decided that another way to facilitate networking is to actually create a directory that existed for the state. Currently, as we know, it does not exist in Massachusetts of peer leadership programs. Like I said, some directories exist for services, substance abuse prevention, etc., but there's no such list that exists that says here there's many youth opportunities, employment programs, or youth-friendly areas. So we embarked on that last year, which is now an Excel document that we updated, marketed, and shared with the directory, with the network. But this year we're migrating it to Google Maps to make it a little more accessible for people. We will host the kind of management system, but the long-term goal is to move it away from our organization and have the network own it. So that's making access to information really easy. So this is what the events actually looked like, what made up the network. So I did say we split Massachusetts in 5 regions. Last year we only got to do 4. It was really hard to get to Western Mass. From Boston to Western Mass is 2 to 3 hours. So it was just a logistical challenge. But this year we are starting with Western Mass to start with, just to get it out the way. So the goal is always to do 5. But we did 4 regional events. And basically, we provided the groups who attended time to introduce themselves, say what their group does. They came out with a chant, too, which was nice. We facilitated a lot of team-building games that got them to talk to each other. We provided that short conflict resolution training, and really the bulk of the meeting was networking opportunities. What are you good at? And think about services or potential collaborations you could do with each other. These events were about 4 hours long. And we provided food, which was great. So it kept them engaged. And just some examples of some of the collaborations. In central Massachusetts, there was a youth group who was very popular and successful in hosting block parties to get young people engaged, a violence prevention effort. And then there was another group who was very successful in facilitating and hosting food markets, people's markets. They grew the vegetables and everything, and they were great at selling it, but they just were not successful at getting people to come. They just were not good at picking good locations. So those two groups said, well, since we host really good parties and you got really good food, how about we come together? So those two groups came together, and that's one example. And at the very minimum, we know that some of the groups were exchanging services with each other. Hey, we provide this training. There's some groups that do occupational hazards for young people. They provided trainings for instance, Project Hip Hop is the organization in Boston that uses the 5 elements of hip hop to get young people to stay away from violence. So they're like, hey, we do trainings on hip hop and how to get young people engaged in DJing, etc. So they exchange resources. So there were many examples like that, that they did it for each other for free. So it was great to see those benefits. So about 4 to 6 peer leadership groups came. That was our goal. So about 25 to 30 people, including adults, were in these events. Like I said, team building games, networking events. And we did host a culminating conference at the end of the year to continue the tradition. And we were able to have the groups share successes that they had by region, and also if they were interested in doing networking opportunities even cross state, having Central Mass talk to the Northeast, etc. So that's how the events look like. So if you're thinking about implementing a peer leadership network in your state or even in your community, region, etc., whatever is available, here's some strategies and tips that we picked up. It's usually helpful to have a primary and well-known host site, an intermediary, something like a local public health commission or an organization that isn't necessarily doing the direct work like us, because we provide a lot of trainings and technical assistance to groups across the state, we had existing relationships. So when I called Central Massachusetts up to say, hey, we need a host site and we need help recruiting groups, it was easy to do that because we have that relationship. So it's great to have a primary and or well-known host site to help facilitate this network. It's also very critical to engage the young people, the youth leaders on the youth leadership board from the very beginning, from planning all the way to execution. The buy-in was very apparent, and they were really excited to lead these events. And I'm sorry I didn't include pictures, I forgot, but we have some really nice pictures of young people in the front of the room leading the events. We also feel it's important to offer a modest stipend to the young people who are part of the Youth Leadership Board. The 2 to 3 hour weekly meetings were just the meetings they had, but they put in more work than that, depending on the months and how much planning it took. So we believe offering a modest stipend. We also school credit, at least in Massachusetts, maybe it's the same somewhere else, but you know, they have to have community service credits in order to graduate. So currently we have two young people in our current youth leadership board that have refused to get paid. Well, they're not supposed to, because their high school requirement asks them to, you know, dedicate 6 hours per week on a project in order to get credit. So that's really exciting for us, and it could help save costs in other ways. Consistent planning meetings, it helps youth stay accountable, keeps you on task, because it is, you know, once a week it can get really hard to get the young people to stay engaged, especially during testing time. So that's why it's helpful to have a year-long plan. Like, we think it's important to have a public health theme, so it could be obesity prevention, it could be prevention in general. Anything that doesn't alienate the groups, like, oh, that's not for me, I don't think I should go, but something broad enough that they feel that they should come and present and be a part of it. So it could be, you know, whatever, you know, water fluoridation, I'm not sure, whatever you'd like. And it's always critical to provide team building event opportunities and networking opportunities. I would say more on the team building at first. It gets that ice to melt. It gets young people out of their shell, even the adults. And it really opens them up to talk to each other. Because these are really inspired, dedicated young people doing incredible work in their communities, and they're just ready to share that gospel. So networking opportunities that help them communicate their services and their expertise also helps young people in many different ways, but they barely are looked at as experts, so it's great to have that component so that they could be in the front of the room sharing that. We believe, you know, a culminating conference is optional, but it's not required. Once again, it takes time and planning and money, but it's one way to think of, you could do it at a very low scale to bring the groups back to share what their successes were, to help them stay accountable and keep the network alive so that it doesn't just end after the regional events are over. And I also forgot to mention, we have a Facebook page as well that the young people created. It's an open page that anyone can add. They can list any training opportunities or events they want to share. So that's another way to continue the network opportunities. So in conclusion, resiliency research emphasizes an increase in protective factors in order to help decrease the risk factors that are present in young people's lives. The research is clear that the more you engage youth in these public health prevention efforts, the more committed they will be to public health now and in the future. Also, providing networking opportunities for youth groups to share program strategies, community resources, helpful local partners, potential funding streams, and to collaborate during the time where financial resources are slim is a huge benefit of a network like this. And we also believe it's important to break down the silo and not reinvent the wheel. There's many great, at least in Massachusetts, there's groups that start often during the year, so it's great to connect them to a group who's been doing something similar for a while, so that they can hit the ground running. And then youth who are involved are able to build skills, knowledge, and relationships that are transitional to other parts of their lives. So positive youth outcomes, skills and knowledge that will help them thrive as young people and as adults. And I just want to end with an incredible quote from a Central Mass young person. I'm walking away with the knowledge that other youth groups and communities are doing good work like me. I didn't know this many people with a better place to live in. You know, and something so basic but so profound that these young people are so excited, and some of them are really upset or disgruntled that, you know, substance use is abused the way it is, or, you know, youth rights are being trampled on, or they can't walk to, you know, home at night because it's really unsafe and there's no place to walk. They're upset about it, but sometimes they don't recognize that there are other people that are upset and are also doing work around it. So it was really great to have this young person articulated in that way, because she realized that there were other groups also inspired and doing incredible work around the state as well. So I just want to thank you all, and then the young people that were part of the project and still are, AmeriCorps, that provided our Massachusetts Promise Fellow. It's a full-time staff that works on this project with the young people, and I support them. And, of course, our organization and our funders that contributed to this, and all of you for being here. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you.
I just wanted to also open it up for questions for Karen, Michael, and Daisy. Just open it up if there's any other questions. And just wanted to mention, if you're not a member of CHPBD section, please welcome to join as a secondary member. It's free from this coming year. APHA has transition to a new, so that secondary membership is free as well. Any questions for Karen, Michael, and Daisy? Last questions? Okay, well, thank you very much. Hope you are able to attend the closing ceremony.